Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network. Welcome to In Defense of Ska. We aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of the music. Ska deserves the respect genres like punk, hip-hop, and hardcore find among their listeners. We also like to illustrate how ska is a global genre. Our host is renowned music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska, Aaron Carnes.
Today we speak with José Diels Olán, the lead singer of the group Out of Control Army, who formed in 2015 in Mexico City. They play an infectious two-tone inspired sound and have played big and small shows all over the world. But there is more to this interview than Diels' history as the lead singer of the band. He's also been involved with Mexico City's ska scene for many years. Ska grew in Mexico in the 90s and 2000s, but had a dip in popularity after that. Diels knew there was still a substantial ska audience in Mexico, so in 2016, he partnered with OCESA to create Nonstop Ska Festival, which drew tens of thousands of people for an all-ska lineup. He's shown that Mexico has a voracious appetite for ska, and other promoters have gotten in on the action. In today's interview with Diels, we trace Mexico's history of ska from the early days of the Mex-Ska movement in the 90s to its present vibrant iteration. And now, joining me is my co-host, veteran ska musician Adam Davis of Link 80 and Omnigon.
So in 2019, you went to Mexico with Alex from Flat Planet, right?
Yeah. It was for my book. I was going to see a festival and I was going to interview some bands there.
I mean, it was also fun, right?
It's crazy. That was considered a small show, and it was like 10,000 people.
Dang. Can you imagine a small show being 10,000 people? Sorry, we didn't draw very many people. It's only 10,000.
Yeah, it's only 10,000.
Ska is so popular in Mexico.
The thing that struck me about the festival, too, was that while there was people of different ages there was a fair amount of young people. And I think that's the key thing, is that it's still popular with young people in Mexico. So that means that it still has life and it still has room to grow.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. I wish we had that here. I really want to play in Mexico.
Yeah. I said, the other thing that really struck me about the whole thing was that, this hang up or this idea that ska is silly really just wasn't present at that festival and really wasn't present with the people I spoke with. It's just like, it was really clear to me that in Mexico, ska is viewed as a form of political dance music.
Yeah. If there's anything else I'd like to push back on that negative perception of the music, it's that it's just silly.
Yeah.
I really don't like that part. But man, I hope that one day my band gets to go play in Mexico. Maybe if you're listening and you want to bring Omnigon to Mexico, hit me up.
Before we begin the conversation officially, I just want to introduce Mari is here to help with any translation. She was part of our Horacio Blanco episode from Desorden Público. If you want to say hi, Mari.
Hi, I'm Mari, and I'm here to help with any of your language needs.
And do you want to tell everyone your band name again? Just we'll just give you a little quick plug.
Sure. My band is Los Ocupados. We're a ska punk band from Western Washington, and happy to be here.
Great. Jose, happy to have you here. I want to ask you first, so there is footage online. Out of Control Army just played a show on November in Mexico City. It looked like a massive audience. I think you were opening for Inspector. Is that right?
Yes, we do a big show. We have two big shows this year, the two shows with Inspector. The first in February in Auditor Nacional. Auditor Nacional is the most important theater in Mexico City. It's for 12,000 people. And we do that in February. And now in November, do the same Inspector and Out of Control Army in a venue called Palacio de los Deportes. It's a sports arena. And it's for 20,000 people.
Wow. Was it a special anniversary for Inspector, or was it just a regular show?
The November show is the 28th anniversary of Inspector.
So our friend Esteban Flores, he said that you flew him in to play keyboards for your set?
Yes, it's really cool. Thank you, Esteban, because I know Esteban in Los Angeles. When I know Esteban in a rehearsal for a band, this guy have the correct touch in the keyboards and have the correct Hammond and the correct sound. He's a really, really good friend. This guy is strange because he's Mexican, but never know Mexico because no have papers and have problems for go to the country. And now Esteban have the green card and told me, I want to go to Mexico. And I told, come to the show. I can pay for your flight, come and enjoy. And this is really blow the mind of Esteban because it's the first show in Mexico and play for 20,000 people. No?
Oh, I didn't know that was his first show in Mexico. Yeah, what a first show.
And the first time, not only the first show, the first time, the first tacos, the first, it's the first time in Esteban in Mexico City.
Oh, did you take him anywhere special to give him some food or anything?
Yes, we eat too much tacos and pozole and all the Mexican food. Go to the supermarkets. It's cool because it's really different the real Mexico, no, than the USA Mexico, no. It's, but it's really, really different and really cheap, and the people. It's crazy, no? The people in Mexico enjoy too much the music, no?
Yeah. So in August, there was the Global Sounds Global Ska Festival with the Melbourne Ska Orchestra. Are you behind that festival?
Yes, I have two festivals. I do two festivals, the Nonstop Ska Festival and the Global Ska Festival. I have 8 years doing these festivals, and I enjoy too much bring to Mexico bands to all over the world. I pick up 100 bands now. Tokyo Ska Paradise, Bad Manners, Hepcat, and all his Calmates, bands from Japan, from Korea, Kingston Ruby Ska from Korea, for example. And this year I put a Stranger Call, Melbourne Ska Orchestra, the Western Standard Time, La Mafia Rusa from Los Angeles. And I work very hard for the ska in Mexico and in Latin America. I do this show, the Global Ska, I do it in Argentina, in Chile, and in Colombia.
How many people were at the show with the Melbourne Ska Orchestra?
This show is for 7,000 people.
And so was that one in Mexico, or which one was this one in? Was it in Argentina?
In Argentina, it's different lineup. In Argentina, Colombia, I put Bad Manners, Out of Control Army, and another band from Spain called Escapa Rapid. Escapa Rapid is a ska punk band and sounds really good, have 30 years, and the people love it. And in Chile, I put another artist called Juancho Scalari. He's the singer of a legendary band called Scalariac. We changed the lineup, but in Mexico, I put Melbourne Ska because it's one of my favorite bands. I think it's now my favorite band. For me, the most important band or the more perfect band in the world is Tokyo Ska Paradise. But everything changed when I listen Melbourne Ska. It's really, really excited. The singer, Nicky Bomba, is a really superstar, and he's really cool guy. I love it, Melbourne Ska. I want to do more shows with Melbourne Ska because it's a great band. No? It's like ska, but it's with jazz, have orchestra, but no, it's a classic jazz. No, it's not like a modern band. It's really cool for the people. I enjoy it.
How many people were in the band for that show?
Traveled 12 people from Australia, and I put 10 musicians more from Mexico to do the complete orchestra.
Oh, nice. So I kind of want to get into your history. You have a lot of history with ska in Mexico, mm-hmm. and I know you go back pretty far. Can you first tell me a little bit about how you first learned about ska? I know it must have been as a kid, right?
Yes, when I have 11 years, I listened to the first Mexican ska bands, Panteón Rococó, Nana Pancha, Secta Cor, and I tried to find more in Napster, but it's really slow in these times, Napster. And I listened to Mighty Boston, Say Ferries, the bands who appear in the movies, no? In the movies, you see Say Ferries and bands with horns, and I love the sound. And more later, I discovered my favorite music is the ska to tone. When I listen Madness, Bad Manners, and Special, it's changed my mind. I decide in this time I want to learn to play horns. No, I begin with the trumpet. I start with the trumpet, and years ago I buy my first saxophone. But I really love the ska. It's incredible music. I enjoy the ska punk, the ska hardcore, the two-tone. My favorite is the two-tone, but I love it. All the fusions and the combinations. I think it's really good music because all the world changed the music, no? In India, in Japan, in Korea. Do the personal ska, no? The Korean ska, the Japanese ska, Venezuela, Argentina. I really love the ska. I all my life is around the ska music.
Can you think back to being a kid and what it was about ska that you liked about it so much?
Yes. When I was a kid, in Mexico, the ska is really famous in the 90s, no? In the 90s, it's Habba Boom. But the people don't know this is a ska, no? The people only thinking it's rock with horns.
Yeah.
Many bands do fusion with Latin music, cumbia and merengue. But in the 90s, in the 2000s, many bands come to Mexico, no? The first band who worked really hard in Mexico is the Toaster, no? It's the first bands who come to Mexico and say, okay, this is the other ska, no?
So was the Toasters the first ska band you saw that was not from Mexico?
Yes, the Toasters is the first ska band, no?
Okay, I want to go back a little bit because I know when you were a kid, you met Pepe Lobo, and I want to kind of talk a little bit about Pepe Lobo, who he was, what he did, and your friendship with him.
Okay.
So, can you explain who Pepe Lobo was, or is? I'm sorry.
Yes, Pepe Lobo. Pepe Lobo, for me and for too much people, is the father of the Mexican ska. Is the man who start
to invest
that money for the first band to record the demos. Like Secta Cor, like Inspector, is the man who released the first cassettes, no CDs, cassettes, and after the CD, have many connections with other bands. This guy is, for me, is the father of the Mexica. When I was a kid, I worked with Pepe Lobo, in the company, but this is an independent company of ska, but I worked with Pepe. It's a man who works really hard when the ska no do money, and Pepe Lobo put the money and trust in the music, no?
Yeah. So how did you meet Pepe Lobo?
I meet in the market. This guy spent albums in the market, and I go for buy the CDs, and Pepe Lobo have the first albums of Fabulosos Cadillacs or another Argentina band. I know in the market, as in like, I think I have 70 years old when I know Tepalo.
It's El Chopo is what we're talking about, right?
Yes, and El Chopo. El Chopo is a market. Yes.
So it's like a market in Mexico City where people sell music, shirts.
Yes, it's like an underground market, like Camden Town, but more true, no? More true, because here it's more for the punk rockers, for the gothic people, the metal people, many cultures.
So you went to go get some music and you met him there? Because he just has a booth at the El Chopo.
Yes, Pepe Lobo working in Chopo. And after I know Pepe Lobo, I work with Pepe Lobo. I'm Embalor all the album. I work in the House of Pepe for Embalor the albums. And he helped me too much for the beginning to play the music, no? For playing ska music, no?
Now I was reading that you used to hang out at El Chopo and used to play trumpet there. Is that true?
Yes, I play the trumpet. But now I play the saxophone. The trumpet is really difficult. I don't play most of this instrument. only three buttons for all the notes.
Sure. When did you switch over to saxophone?
I don't remember. Maybe I play only two years the trumpet. I really love the saxophone because I love the sound of madness, no?
Yeah.
Madness is the Lee Thompson for me is the more inspiration. It's like the sound of the two tones is the saxophone, no? It's the tenor sax, the baritone sax. And I love the saxophone, the sound of the saxophone. I love the horns for the trombone, the trumpet, but the saxophone is my favorite, no? And I decide to study all the days the sax and playing all the days. And now it's my instrument, no? I play baritone sax. I really enjoy that.
So Pepe Lobo, he's the first person that really released these tapes by these bands, you know, like you were saying, Panteón Rococo, Inspector, Secta Core, Nana Pancha, Tremenda Corte. What was Pepe Lobo like as a person?
Pepe is really cool. He's like a kid.
He's like a kid?
Like a kid. Pepe is really funny, and he's now he's a really good person. And now many bands, really mainstream bands, begin with the connections of Pepe Lobo, and Pepe present the mainstream band with the under bands, and now the under bands no more under are mainstream. It's, for example, for me, Pepe Lobo is the people who introduced me with Inspector, no? When I have 70 years, told to the Inspector, record with this guy, it's the new ska band, and now I have a really relationship with Inspector. It's my best friends now, but Pepe Lobo introduced me with these guys maybe 20 years ago.
So Pepe Lobo still goes to El Chopo and sells tapes, right?
Yes. Yes, Pepe works in the Chopo all the life. Now you can go to the Chopo and Pepe is here.
Yeah, so you can go see him. Like any, you can still see him in 2023.
Yes, Pepe Lobo is always in the same place.
Yeah.
You can go and have a really good new recordings, and it's cool. It's working really hard now. Have a new compilation. Puro Ska Mexicano is the name. Puro Ska Mexicano is the name of the new compilation of Pepe. He's a man who always support the other bands. No?
So when Pepe was putting out the music, these bands were underground.
Yes.
They were not very big, right?
No. But in Mexico, the underground is like a different means different like USA, because, for example, we are underground bands, no? The ska bands, but we play for 20,000 people, no? It's like like strange because when I listen, the Skies Underground is okay, but I play all the weeks for 2,000, 3,000. It's normally, you know, it's normally playing for this kind of people. Another friend, Neil, Mike, have another festival called Skatex. Skatex Festival is for 75,000 people and only with ska bands, no? It's only ska bands. And the people in the radio or the TV or don't put ska because the ska is underground, but I don't think it's underground our music for have 75,000 people in a festival. Only for ska. No more music. Ska.
What kind of audiences were these bands drawing in the 90s when they were still releasing cassettes with Pepe Lobo before big labels came into the picture?
The many labels record after Pantheon, for example, Inspector the and the other labels forget the other bands, and the ska music in the 2005, 2007 lost a lot of the people because the internet, Spotify, YouTube,
yeah,
appears with reggaeton, appears with electronic music. It's really complicated for the ska because the ska is music who born in the streets, no? Yeah. We don't need the radios in this time, no? Many bands broke, but now I think it's the best time for doing ska in Mexico. It's a good moment for the music. The people support the show. The people go to see many bands. You have audience for all the bands, no? You can play ska core and have the ska core scene, have the rocksteady scene. It's cool. Many promoters now, independent promoters, work with bands. The next week come Roy Ellis to Mexico for doing the show. My friend Natalia is have a label of clothes, call it Offset Clothing, and it's the anniversary of the store, and put Roy Ellis for the show, and all the days happen something for ska in Mexico.
Yeah, ska is very, very popular now. What was it like in the 90s? Were they playing big shows or was it small shows?
No, really big. It shows all the weeks for 20,000 people, 60,000, all the weeks. I enjoy this time. I know musicians in the past, but I enjoy like fun because in the 90s, Mexico had really, really big problems, political problems. And
yeah.
The ska is the music for scream to the people what's happened with the governments, and the tickets for these shows is only beans or rice. You can put rice and it's a donation for the communities, for the EZLN, el Ejército Zapatista. And many people go to the show for support, many problematics, social problematics, and it's a good time for ska. No really professional the stage and the sound, but in this time nothing thinking in that, no? The people thinking and enjoy the music and the social problems. But now these people like have 15 years in the 90s, have 30, 35, and it's different now. Yeah, it needs more better venues now, but now everything changed because the people grow up and we are all people now.
Yeah, it's not just punk kids going to
just
tiny you know, crummy venues.
Just
In Defense of Ska will return in a moment.
The first bands to kind of get bigger, though, are what? Pantheon, Rococo, Inspector, Secta Core?
Yes, but the first band, the first band is ska, but not 100% ska, but like have ska influence grow up, is Maldita Vecindad. Maldita Vecindad, It's really big. When Panteón Rococó and Spector play in the streets and the other festival, Marita Vecindad playing the TV shows and really massive band, no?
Yeah.
It's a band who influenced many people because I have a special saxophone who have a really good color, and many guys buy the sax for it's a really good inspiration for buy a saxophone and do a band. And it's after that, another band in the north called Tijuana No. Tijuana No is other famous band before the boom of ska in the 90s. But the two represent bands in the is Inspector in Panteón, the bands who grow up too much. But it's really hard because Inspector and Panteón in the playing in all the shows, in all the political shows, and in other moment playing Good Morning TV shows, and and the people, many people angry, many people support. It's really complicated for these bands, but I think these bands do the correct, because in Mexico, when in the 90s, when you talk to the people, I listen ska, all the people say, what is ska? No? What is ska? What is ska? No, nothing knows the word ska, no? And now in Mexico, ska is popular, a popular word. You say, I play ska music, and the people understand what is ska, no?
Yeah. Do you want to know, in the mid-90s, they tried to break in the U.S. They didn't get very big, but they definitely made an attempt in the U.S. market.
Yes. This guy lives in Tijuana. It's only 10 minutes to San Diego, no? It's more easy for these bands come. But for a band from the Mexico City, it's really difficult because the papers, the visas, it's really complicated, the process, really expensive. And it's hard, but now with the internet, it's more easy to have the contacts and talk with the people and go to the correct festival. No?
Okay, so Panteón Rococó, I feel like they had a couple really big songs on the radio, right?
Yes, Panteón Rococó is really big. It's like super mainstream band, super mainstream, like Metallica, like Pink Floyd, like these guys do three shows in Foro Sol. Foro Sol is the big arena in Mexico. It's for 70,000 people and do three shows, sold out. You know?
Wow.
It's like a band who spent more than 100,000 tickets. No, I think it's not only ska music. I think it's the most big band in Mexico. The most big, no.
Mm-hmm.
Not only ska, no. It's a band who spent 100,000 tickets in a week. It's crazy, that.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first song that they had on the radio, or the first big song they had?
Yeah, and this is strange because when Inspector grew up, Inspector have a love song in the radio, no?
Yeah.
But Panteón Rococó have a politic song called La Carencia. And it's strange to listen to the radio and a song who chalk shed for the government. And it's in the radio. And it's a hit. And it's cool. I think Panteón have this style, no? It's a politic band. And La Carencia is the most massive song, or the first massive song with Panteón, but with the other albums, the demo, have other popular songs with the people, but now in the radio or the TV, no?
Was it uncommon in Mexico to have a political song on the radio?
It's difficult. It's difficult. And the bands don't do that. Now the radio is, I think, nothing try to stay in the radio, no? The things change. And the really popular bands don't stay in the radio, stay in the internet, in YouTube, in podcasts, in different, because in Mexico, the radio and the TV, the people don't listen more, don't see TV. Everything changed, no?
Now, it's my understanding that the early 2000s is when sort of was the peak of when, like, these bands were on the radio and kind of more in the bigger culture. Do you agree with that? Is that correct?
Yes, it's really good. Maybe when I was a kid, I am a little angry, no? but now I understand is the correct, no? But yes, in the moment, I'm say, what? This is my band. Why my band is singing, you know? It's part of me, no? And many people is angry, no? But after that, the people grow up and say, okay, these guys do the correct for the music, no? It's for the music, no? And these bands never change the music. So Inspector play a two-tone ska, no change for more fans or something. It's the same band with the same guys, and it's cool. I think this band do the correct.
What is there a name? Is there a term for ska fans in Mexico? I think I read skaceros. I'm not sure if I'm getting it right.
Yes, got many. The first name is a bad name of offense. The guy is Skatos, no? Skatos.
Skatos is an offensive name?
Yes. No. It's the name of the metal or the gothic people or the punk people say Skatos, no? It's like a bad name, no? For Skatos. The people of Ska say Skaceros. Or root boys, or ska fans. It's difficult, but now when you talk to people, you are scato, the people say, yes, I'm scato. Because in Mexico, the ska mix many cultures. The people who listen to ska in the 90s have a skateboard, do graffiti. It's a mix of the hip hop culture and the punk rock culture. No, it's like a root voice for this Jamaican ska. In the 90s, the people who listen to ska is a people who practice skateboard, love the graffiti. The clothes really different, no? A big clothes like a hip-hop music. No, it's like a ska culture, no? It's really different. And the 90% of the ska people in Mexico don't listen to ska music, the Jamaican music or feel the traditional culture of ska, no? It's different. It's like a Mexican ska culture, no?
Yeah, it feels like Inspector were like one of the only bands back then that were playing like two-tone influenced ska. The rest of it was really mixed with a lot of punk and metal and other stuff.
Yes, Inspector is the more like sound traditional ska and the clothes and in this time, no? Now we have many ska bands and two-tone and rocksteady and reggae bands, but in this time Inspector is broken. But I think that's happened with Inspector because this guy is from Monterrey and is the border of Texas, no?
Yeah.
Listen other kind of music. And in Mexico City, it's like a jungle, no? It's a really hard city. It's other kind of music, no? The sky in Mexico City is more serious. I think the reason for the two-tone of ska punk, the people in Mexico City don't listen too much because this kind of music, like the California ska, so, it's like more funny, no? It's funny and really crazy, very. And the people in Mexico City don't like it because it's more angry, no? It's like a politic and more. And it's the reason for Mexico do the Mexican ska, no?
So Mexican ska tends to be political, right?
Yes, it's more aggressive. It's like, yes, it's a movement. It's a social movement. No, it's only about the music.
I'm curious about the term Mexica. That's kind of what it's referred to as, right?
Mexica, yeah.
Mexica? Because it's not ska per se. It's this sort of blend of music.
Yes, it's like another wave of ska.
Do you know where the term came from or who came up with that, Mexica?
I don't know, but like the people call it the Mexica. The sound of Mexico is really different all over the world.
So, okay. Ska in Mexico is bigger than anywhere else in Latin America?
Yes. Yes, all the world.
bigger than any place in the world?
But for too much. For example, I love Supernova Sky. It's a dream play for me in the Supernova. But yeah, the Supernova is like the smallest stage of my festival.
Yeah, it's like a mini festival.
Yes, it's in Mexico. The Sky is really popular. Really popular. The people love the music and enjoy. Many bands around the world don't understand that. And when I write to the bands and please come to Mexico, no, let me see, let me check the offers. And I say, man, you need to come to Mexico. It's crazy, Mexico. It's the best part of the world for playing ska now.
When did you start playing in bands?
I started 20 years ago. I started playing in bands. I played with many bands. For example, in Tijuana No, I played 6 years in Tijuana No. I played with the Bad Manners. I have 8 years with Bad Manners. In the Toasters, I do two years of Toasters. And it's great because I grow up with these bands. I never thinking we play in the band. No, it's like, it's really strange that for me, no? Because I'm only a fan, no? I am a ska fan, and yeah, everything changed in my life.
What was the first band you played in?
The first place is a band in Mexico called Mascatesta. Mm-hmm. I played 10 years with this band. And after I begin to play with Tijuana No and Batman. I do Out of Control Army 8 years ago. With all the influence, and I try to do a band who have the two-tone sound, the ska sound, but with the Mexican power, no? And it's a mix for the,
yeah,
for all the influence, you know, Toaster from Tijuana, my principal reason for do this band is try to go to play to all over the world ska music, no?
When did you join, Mascatesta?
I joined in, I don't know, 18 years ago.
So around 2005, 2004?
Yes, with the trumpet. I begin with the trumpet in this one.
Oh, you did? You were trumpet first? Okay. You also, before you started booking festivals, you booked smaller shows, right?
Yes.
So when did you start booking?
I started 10 years ago, and the people who have the fall of that everything happened is Bucket, no? Bucket from the Toasters is the first band who asked me, who responded me an email and say, okay, I can go to the show. I do a show for 200 people. In the other year, I do 3 shows with the Toasters in other cities. And Bucket told to all the guys of the bands, hey, man, I have a people in Mexico, call it Deals. And Deals is the man who respond for the show, is honest, can do it. Bucket told for many bands, and I begin to work with all the bands, no? With, I forgot all the bands, it's too much. I bring Selector, Voodoo Glock School, Richie Ramon, New York Sky Jazz Ensemble, Western Standard, Spectre 7. I work really hard, but Bucket is my father in the ska music. No?
Okay, so tell me about how you became Deals.
Deals is like, in Mexico, it's called tratos, no? Tratos, like make a deal, no? The people in Mexico call me el tratos when I have 15 years because I always make deals for some. And after the people told me deals, like a joke. And now I have 20 years, everybody call me deals because all the time I do deals, I say, how much? Okay, in what city? And I book bands in all over the world, Tokyo Ska Paradise, and many bands work with me, and all the people call me Deals, no? And it's cool. Sounds good.
So you, when you started booking shows, you specifically wanted to bring in bands outside of Mexico. You wanted to be that person, right?
Yes.
Did you? Can you talk about that a little bit? Is it because you wanted to connect the ska scenes and have people so that it, you know, make it one big ska scene?
The problem in Mexico is the corruption. In Mexico, have many corruption, and the promoters have the same. It's like a virus. The government is corrupt. The promoters are corruption. The people are corruption. It's really hard, and many bands announcement tours in Mexico, and when the day coming, cancel the show or change the place, and many problems happen, and many bands don't want to come to Mexico because it's dangerous city, and I try to change that and say, okay, this is the deal, no? This is the correct information. I have a venue, we can travel, and we can do the show, but this is the money for the show, no? And many bands say, okay, yes, and because many people lie to the bands and say more money, and nothing mm-hmm. happened, or when you are a promoter, you need to know you maybe lose the money. You can lose the money, and the promoter say no. When the promoter lose the money, cancel the show, no. And when I lose money, I don't cancel the show because it's the responsibility of the promoter do the show, no. And I try to change that. And when that's happened, I do the same in Colombia. I do the same in Chile. I do the same in Costa Rica. With the same bands, no? And it's the reason for I work really hard with many bands, and the bands call me and say, I want to work with you. And it's strange because many people write me, like, for example, Neville Staple from Specials. They write me in WhatsApp, no? I say, hey, Deal, I am Neville from Specials. I want to work. Do you know who I am? And I say, yes, man, I love you. No? and the bands write me now. No? It's like, it's crazy, no? It's crazy this, but because I work really hard for that to happen. And now many ska festivals in Mexico is more professional because the music, the promoters change and have many, many good shows. And always is cool for ska now.
Right back after this.
Okay, you started Nonstop Ska Festival in 2016. Before that, there wasn't really professional big festivals for ska in Mexico.
Yes, everything changed. Like many companies begin to work in the ska. Like Ocesa, Vive Latino, this kind of festivals put the ska bands. For example, Vive Latino is the first festival who bring Tokyo Ska Paradise to Mexico, no? And now have the Ska-Tex festival. It's really big festival in Mexico. Playing bands, more Latin bands, it's more for the Latin bands. But this year I put Batman and New York Ska Jazz in this festival. The other year, I put Scatolites and many friends, and it's cool. This festival is cool. It's the Global Ska is in a venue, in a really professional venue called Pepsi Center. It's sponsored by Pepsi, and everything is cool. The audio, the parking, the bathrooms, it's cool. It's a really, really nice place for playing music.
Nonstop Ska in 2016 was actually a collaboration between you and Ocesa, is that correct?
Yeah, I work in Ocesa, no? The Global Ska is with Ocesa, and I work in this company. It's the most big company in Latin America. And I do the shows, but it's cool because my boss in Ocesa is give me the free, I can do. I can put all the bands and never told me, no, this band now, something is trusting me, the company trusting me, And I do many, many, many good festivals. We do three editions of the Nonstop Ska. And Java canceled one because have a big earthquake in Mexico the same week of the festival. All the bands are in Mexico when the earthquake happened. And it's a really, really bad experience. Have 10 or 15 bands in Mexico for all over the world. And a big earthquake happened, and I canceled this show. But it's in this edition, it's Tokyo Ska Parade, it's still here, and Nijo Ska. And it's really hard. The Southern Publico from Venezuela is in this edition.
That was in 2017, the earthquake, right?
Yes, the earthquake happened 2 days before the first year.
Yeah, that sounds crazy. It was a big earthquake, right? And
it's really big.
Did you guys postpone the show and did it later?
Yes, we postponed six months. I do in February, again in February. With the same lineup, nothing changed. I take this in this edition band from Salvador Arecibo playing as the Mark Fogo, playing New York Jazz, Capital Sound is the other band of Inspector. Always come made from Japan, Tokyo Ska Parade from Japan, the Southern from Venezuela, Bad Manor playing. It's one of my favorite editions of the festival.
So the very first Nonstop Ska Fest you had, I'm going to list some of the bands for people to hear. Scottalites, The Selector, Inspector, Los de Abajo, Tijuana No, Voodoo Glow Skulls, Out of Control Army, your band, La Tremenda Corte, Los Pies Negros. So it's a great lineup has bands from the scene in Mexico and bands from all over the world. How many people came that first year?
For this year, it's really big. It's 50,000 people.
Yeah. Damn.
This festival is in the same arena who played with Inspector in November. It's El Palacio de los Deportes, the Sport Palace.
So I was reading that. So you convinced OCESA that there was this audience for ska. And did no one else see that there was this kind of audience for ska still at that time?
In this time is difficult because nothing throws in this kind of ska. Only in the Latin ska. The Latin ska is popular, but when I talk to the company, I want to do a show with Jamaican artists and UK artists. The people say, I don't know, maybe not a good idea. The people don't know these bands. And I told, yes, I trust in these bands. These bands need to play in this kind of venue because when these bands come, like Voodoo Glow Skulls or Toasters come to Mexico, play in a really bad venue, no? With really bad conditions. And I try to change that and say to the company, these bands have many audience, but the problem is never playing the correct places. No? And when I put the festival in this kind of venue, all the people are really happy and say, okay, we want to go and see the UK bands with the USA bands and the Mexican bands. And it's a good combination because all the ska people stay the show and the punk rocker and the hardcore people love the sound and come to the show. And it's cool. It's cool. We only do three editions of Nonstop Ska and two global ska. I have five ska festivals.
I was reading an interview you said that you were a little worried at first that maybe having this big festival where you have all the Rude Boys and the Skatos and the Skinheads and that if they would all get along together or not. But apparently everything went fine.
Yes, everything is fine. Now the people is really happy. No have this problem. No, you can come to the ska shows and you don't need to see a Rude Boy or you many Rastafaris call. For example, in Mexico have a big festival called Hell and Heaven. Hell and Heaven is a metal fest. No, this year play Guns N' Roses and play Muse and play. But have a little stage for the ska, no? Alternative stage. And this year played Royal Club. And it's crazy because Royal Club have more audience than the metal band. And it's the power of ska, no? In a metal festival, the ska band had more audience. And now the ska is part of the, it's part of the Mexican culture. The other year, yesterday, is the put the announcement of the most bigger festival in Mexico, called Vive Latino. Vive Latino is for 2,000 people. No, 200,000 people.
It's 200,000. The most bigger
festival. Yes, it's the most bigger festival in Latin America, no? And wow. the other year, we're going to play Panteón Rococó and Out of Control. It's the only two ska bands who play in the show. And play Paramore, play many mainstream bands, no? It's like really, but it's important because the ska club now is really important for the festival. Put one or two ska bands, no?
Yeah. Well, you know, in the U.S., there would be zero ska bands on any of the bigger festivals. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes, but I don't think it's full of the bands. I think USA needs people who go to the, like me, go to the companies like the Ocesa and USA is like Live Nation is.
Yeah.
Yes, needs people who go to Live Nation and say, hey man, trust in the sky. But USA don't have these people. It needs people who fight and say, hey, why do you don't put in Coachella band? No? Why do you don't put in Lollapalooza? Why? We need people who fight for the movement, because maybe these festivals don't include the ska because nothing told, and the festival say I don't know music, no. But when people go and say, hey, you need to put these bands, maybe everything changed. But we need the people.
Yeah. We need a deals, a U.S. deals.
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
American deals, yes. Yes, because I do the same in Ocesa. When I do the same in Ocesa, the people say, nah, man, it's only a little ska kid. And I go all the days and say, hey, man, ska. And my boss say, okay, do your fucking festival, man. And it's cool. I think in USA, the ska is popular, no? It's popular, but needs to, like Supernova. Supernova is really good, really cool, and the people travel from all parts of USA for enjoy the different kind of ska. I think many people need to go to the big companies, to Golden Boys or something, and say, look this festival. You can put two or three bands in your festival. No?
Yeah, I mean, I think if they started getting put on these festivals, the audience would grow because ska music is great and ska music live is also great.
Absolutely.
Yes, and I think it's now I have a new audience because I have new bands. No, the ska for example, the Interrupters is like a really fresh band with Bite Me Bambi, Cat Bite. No, it's only the old bands. No, now have a new band who have a new connection with the young people. No?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's a good moment. It's a good moment for ska. And in USA, it's grow up. It's more slower than Mexico, but I think it's cool. I see many new bands. Really cool.
Okay, so Out of Control Army. You started Out of Control Army in 2015, so this is 1 year before you got into doing festivals.
Yes.
And then 2016, the first year that you did Nonstop Ska, you released your first record with Out of Control Army?
Yes, I began Out of Control Army because my ska company is called Out of Control Records.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You run... Yeah.
The company who do the festivals is Out of Control Records. When I take the toaster from an anniversary of a band called Los de Abajo, I put the toaster, and Toasters wants to do more shows in Mexico. But we try to find the band, the correct band for open this show, and we don't find any band who have this sound, similar Toaster. And the bands in my label in this time, Los de Abajo, Sectaco, many friends told me, why can't do a new band for open the shows? And I do this band for open the poster show, and we don't have a name. And I say, put Out of Control Army, because it's the army of the label, is with many musicians of the other bands, and put in the poster Out of Control Army. But we never thinking this band is playing all the time. No, it's only a band who we invite in comes to inventar.
To create or to invent?
Okay, this band, we only to create this band for open the poster show. And now it's the principal band of the other guys, no?
Yeah.
Never stop to play. We play all the weeks, 5 times, 4 times, 2 times. But it's cool with Out of Control Me. I enjoy really much the music and have the correct connections with the other bands. And we record albums all the years, and have many formats of the band. And everybody in the band is really happy with that.
Your first record is called El Ska Nuestra Extinción.
Yes.
Can you explain why you called that, your first record, that?
Because it's like, it's no extinction, is the word?
The ska is not dead, basically. Yeah.
Because I think in this time, the ska have the correct audience in the mainstream festival. And it's like I scream to everybody, the sky is not dead, no? The sky is here, and the sky don't need nothing, no? The sky is part of the life, and many bands have the influence of ska. Amy Winehouse, no doubt, the Beatles have many influence of ska. For me, it's important to tell that to the people, no? The ska is an extinction.
You have a song on the record called Fuck the Police.
Yes. We really hate the police.
Can you tell us what prompted that song?
Yeah, we have I always hate the police, always, because we have, it's really corruption and really bad. But when I write this song, we are on a big tour in Mexico, in Morelia, Michoacán. It's like 4 hours to Mexico City. And we have an accident. We crash in the car. And when the police coming, is try to fold the instruments, no? The police nothing help with the accident. And I write this song because I'm really angry. And we have really bad experience with the police. Not only Mexico, no? In all the countries, we try to write politic songs and love songs and have instrumental songs, and this is the color of the Out of Control Army. Have many colors, but Fuck the Police is a really important song, and it's crazy because I sing in many countries and all the countries. Feel the same, no? For a different reason, have a problem, and sing really loud the song.
Mi Corazón Encantado. This song, I was looking on YouTube. This song, there's a couple different videos of the song, and they're like 1.5 million views.
Yes.
This is one of the clips is from your DVD, Enemigo Público.
Yes.
The entire crowd is singing along to this song, every word, so loud. Is this your most popular song?
Yes, this song is really important because it's a song for a cartoon or anime. It's a song for the Dragon Ball GT. We start to play this song because Dragon Ball stopped the cartoon, and 10 years after they do a movie, a special movie, and I record the song only for it's funny. I said I want to record the Dragon Ball song because it's the new era of Dragon Ball. And when I put it in YouTube, it's really viral. The people 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 all the days is grow up. It's important because it's my favorite anime, and now we do the my two favorite things together, no? The Dragon Ball and the Scar, and it's for me really cool to do that, no?
And there's another video where you're playing in the studio and Jorge Salcedo from Sectacore is playing with you.
Yes, the singer.
Yeah, did he play on the main recording or just a special recording?
No, this I invite Jorge because this is a big fan of Dragon Ball. Have the Dragon Balls in the tattoo in the arm. This guy is really, really fun and say, "Hey man, I want to record this song. Do you want to come?" And say, "Yes, for sure." And it's cool because this is a ska core guy, really, really bad and, you know, satanic. But he's an otaku like me. My dream is go to Japan and play this song. And I want to learn in Japan the song and play this song in Japan. It's my dream.
Are you working on your Japanese?
No, but when I try to go to a show and learn all the songs. But yes, I think it's gonna be crazy that when that happens.
Yeah.
There's a couple other songs. I think these are more recent, but you did a song with Pantheon called Fuera de Control.
This is a new song.
Yeah, it's a great song. And you did one with Inspector called Siempre Fingiste.
This is the new two songs. It's two songs. It's really important because this is the two most bigger bands, Sky in Mexico.
Yeah.
And for me, really important, this band support me and support the band. And look, when you do a featuring, always you invite the singer, no? It's like the singer is the most important. But for the Out of Control, no, the important is all the guys, no? And in this song, record six members of Panteón Rococó because we want to take the band. All the band have the sax player, the two guitar players, the bass player. And with Spector, it's the same, playing the sax player, Chuy Arriaga. Chuy is like for me, I'm really fan of Chuy. Chuy is a skinhead who do the first ska traditional shows, like we call it Ska War in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Chuy is like really important for the ska. It's important for me to take Chuy, the sax of Chuy, the keyboards of Homero, and the singer of Inspector is amazing. It's big. Javier is one of the best boys in Mexico. It's cool because in these two songs we have all the bands, no, not only the singers, no. It's a good combination. And I traveled to Monterrey to record the song with Inspector, and with Panteón Rococó it's the same. With Panteón Rococó, it's more difficult because Panteón is a really mainstream band, and all the time is really busy and play in many countries, in Germany. But it's cool we can do it together, the song and the video. And we are really happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, how great is it to be doing collaborations with two of the biggest ska bands in Mexico?
It's amazing because I never think that's happened. I never think that's happened, no?
In Defense of Ska will return in a moment.
I want to talk a little bit about your perception of, we talked about it a little, the U.S. ska scene. We were talking about Esteban in the beginning. You said you met him from L.A.
Yeah.
What's your experience or perception of the L.A. ska scene?
I think the L.A. ska is really divided, no? It's the Latin ska, it's one of the scene. And the other ska is the, like, Steady 45s and Jackie Mendes, and the other, como more soul ska rock steady, is other scene. The other scene is the mainstream, like Aquabat, Real Big Fish, Sayfair, like the ska punk band. And I think the LA ska needs to do something together, but nothing happened, no? But because it's really different, no? The scenes. Maybe sometimes Toasters or Slackers play in the Latin ska, but it's hard, no? For example, Panteón Rococó do a big show in a big theater, in the Mayan Theater in San Angeles. And Pantheon told me, give me a band for open show, no? And I put the Western Standard Time, no? And it's cool because the Western Standard Time open show Pantheon and see the other kind of people who listen to ska. Los Angeles needs to do a big festival, but with all the ska bands, no need to put the Latin or the ska punk or the Los Angeles have a big scene and can do it, but nothing do it. But I don't know. But it's cool. I love the sound of a new band. I don't know it's from Los Angeles, but Bite Me Bambi. I don't know where.
They're from Southern California. Yeah.
Okay. I love this band. It's cool, really cool. The sound is really fresh. I think have a new bands, and it's cool because it's like have too much people in Los Angeles, no? Maybe more Latin people, like USA people, but it's cool. I play in a theater with Rascal Well, another Mexican American band. It's crazy because these guys is like Mexicans but lives in California and only play in California. But it's cool. Ocho Calacas, for example, it's a great band, ska core band. I love it, these bands.
What's it been like to tour in other parts of the US? I know you played in Washington because that's where Mari saw you.
Yes.
What are these shows like for you, like when you play Out of Control Army or whatever?
This year is really cool because we never play in USA. It's the first time. And we do 42 shows this year. 42 shows in USA.
You did 42 shows your first time?
Dang. Yes, it's crazy. The people in Mexico write, when you come to Mexico? I see, because never play in Mexico. Now this year played too much in USA. I love one of my favorite shows is in Salt Lake City. Many people come. New York is amazing. New York is amazing people. But I love it all the shows. For example, in Austin, Texas, we play in a reggae venue, Flamingos Cantina. And it's really cool. I love it. And the other week, we're going to go to Chicago to open a big band called El Tri. El Tri is a Mexican rock band. And we're going to play in the Aragon Bar. This is the next week we play in Chicago, and the other day we play in Guatemala. I need to go to the airport really quickly and play in Guatemala, back to Mexico, and the other day play to El Salvador with Adhesivo. Adhesivo have maybe 10 years don't play in El Salvador, and it's the first time who play in El Salvador, and we open the show. No?
Wow. Just to back up, you're opening up for El Tri in Chicago?
Yes, we happen to include. I think it shows for 6,000 people.
Yeah, El Tri are huge band. Yeah.
Yes, it's rock. It's rock band. No?
Yeah, they're like one of the first, like main, like rock bands, some rock and Espanol bands in Mexico from like the 80s, right?
Yes. I think 70s, maybe.
70s, yeah.
Maybe final of the 70s. It's really big band, but it's like blues, like. Yeah. The classic
rock, yeah.
Say classic rock.
Now I heard you not only do you play in Bad Manners, but you are the manager for them when they do US shows. Is that true?
Yes. I'm the manager from Bad Manners in all America, no? In Argentina and Colombia, and I put the show now in Supernova, for example. And yes, I am the sax and the manager.
Wow. It's because you make deals.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're playing all over the world in different bands, basically, right?
Yes. More with Bad Manners and Out of Control. But it's with the band that I play in many countries. Yeah?
How many countries do you think you've played in at this point?
Boy, I don't know. Maybe 25 or more.
25? Wow.
Yes, I play in many countries. And not only in the countries, because for example, in USA, I think I know the 80% of USA now. And in UK, I do a tour with Bad Manners with 45 shows. And I play in Gales, in Manchester, Liverpool, in all the cities of the UK. You know, I know perfect the UK. I do this two times with the Bad Manners. And it's cool because I see many stops in the movies and I say, I'm here, man. No? I'm here in the Quadrophenia Street, or I'm here in the 100 Club. Or, for example, Out of Control Army do a show two months ago in the Dublin Castle. No, the Dublin Castle is the place who begin madness, and Amy Whitehouse work in this place. It's a bar, a legendary in Camden, and we do a show in the Dublin Castle, and many people come from many countries. Latin people who live in London come to the show, and is really excited playing this place. No, so have magic.
So, what countries have you not played yet that you want to play in 2024?
In 2024, we're gonna play with Out of Control in Brazil. It's the first time for Out of Control in Brazil, but with Bad Manners, I do 5 shows 2 years ago with Bad Manners. But it's the first time who. But I think my dream is playing in Japan or Korea. No, it's like I love the sound of the bands of not only the Tokyo Ska, no, the many other ska band, the Ska Flames, or the Kings of Rudy Ska in Korea. I don't think the next year we're gonna go to Asia, but because have many work in Europe and USA. But in 2025 is the 10 years of Out of Control Army. No, it's when I try to go to Asia and play here. No?
All right, so 2025, let's get Out of Control Army into Asia.
Yes, I try to do that.
Thank you for listening to In Defense of Ska. To support the show, sign up for our Patreon. Intro and outro music by Slow Gherkin from the EP Lives. Additional music by Dan P. and the Bricks. Please rate and review the podcast and tell a friend. Follow at In Defense of Ska on social media. The book In Defense of Ska by Aaron Carnes is available from Clash Books. Order it online. Chris Reeves of SPI is our editor. This is your co-host, Adam Davis of Omnigon, leaving you by saying ska now more than ever. All done.
That's it.
Go home, everybody. Show's over. That's it. Oh, wait, except there's more of this conversation.
Yeah.
Over on our Patreon. Yes, you've heard about it before, and you're going to hear about it again. For only $5, you can head over to our Patreon. We have perks. You can get fun things. You can interact with us on the Discord. You get the episodes a few days early, and you get additional content added to all your episodes. So head on over to the Patreon, support the podcast that you love, and we'll see you there.
Yeah. What else can I add to that? I can't add anything to that.
I did it all.